Who knows more about Munster rugby, me or you, Quinny?
Everyone has an opinion, don't they? Some of the opinions are waffle, but I'd like to think I know a lot.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
Aidan Fogarty's with us. Good morning to you, Aidan. How are you doing?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. What was the Kilkenny WhatsApp groups like when the news breaks that Shefflin's going to Galway?
Yeah, it was actually funny you should mention the WhatsApp groups. During the week, so we have our own kind of WhatsApp group. A few ex-hurlers, JJ and Tommy and Stephen Henry's in it as well. And we put up the Davy Fitz that came across. I think she was on the score or one of them things. And we put up Davy Fitz and going to Galway, you know. And we were kind of saying, "Gee, that's amazing," you know. And Henry didn't say a word. I was kind of waiting to see because I actually heard it on the grapevine earlier on that he was in contention for it. I didn't know what was going on. And I didn't want to say it to him on the WhatsApp group either. But he didn't say anything. He's cute enough. But yeah, look, there's mixed emotions, I think. For me, there's mixed emotions because it kind of feels like we're losing kind of one of our own, and I don't mean that kind of like it just feels that Galway already seem like a championship contender, and they're just going to gain all this experience, and they're going to gain kind of just a great guy, and I think it's a great appointment from the county board in Galway.
Explain that to us, will you? Because you obviously shared a dressing room with him, less when obviously he wasn't your manager, but it does seem like the leadership that he had was clear, the charisma that he had and the power to get people to produce their best and to work hard was there. Is that fair enough? Was it actually like that? Did he already have a quasi-leadership role?
Yeah, look, Henry just always had, like, he was a brilliant hurler, and I think for hurlers on the pitch, and I've only played with Henry, I haven't been managed by him at all, but I've only played with Henry. And when you see guys playing and on the pitch and producing the goods on the pitch, you know, backing up the words in the dressing room, you kind of really stand by him. And I think everything that he won for Kilkenny, he dragged him through league games, he dragged him into All-Ireland, he drew the All-Ireland 2012 on his own back. He's won Hurler of the Year 3 times. He has 10 All-Stars. You know, just crazy amount of accolades to his name. But still, he's one of the most grounded, most honest and most humble guys you can ever come across. And I think that's a great attribute to a fella like that. And I think that's what he's probably going to bring to Galway. He's going to bring just an honesty and an intensity to a team that, that maybe Galway are lacking just slightly. But just on the field, the question was, yeah, on the field, he was just a leader. And he didn't talk that whole lot in the dressing room. But when he talked, you'd obviously listen. But it wasn't about strategy. It wasn't about kind of, we should be doing this, we should be doing that. It was back to the honesty and the work rate. We might be talking about we should be here, we should be marking these guys. You know, even leading up to matches, you'd be talking about different strategies you'd have. But Henry would bring it back to brass tactics and he'd say, lads, if you're not working hard, if you're not making the team kind of pulse intensely, it's not going to happen. You can talk all the taxi and go to the window. So I just believe his honesty and everything that he's done for himself, he'll just bring that to Galway.
And just when you mentioned there about everything he brings to the table, what part of you is worried for what Kilkenny are facing down the tracks from Galway?
Well, I think the actual appointment is actually interesting. I think if a Cork team maybe approached them, or you know maybe a Clare team approached them, I don't think he would have went. I think he looked at Galway and he looked at what they had, and you know Henry's no fool either. You know he was in with Ballyhale, who were a very good team anyway at the time. He's gone into Thomastown, who contested county finals and league finals already. So he sees potential in a team and he goes to them. Now the thing with Galway, I think they play kind of like the way Henry would like them to play. They have big men and very mobile men in the ranks. So they like the Coonies down the middle, the Burks and all that, and then they have like the Concannons and things on either side. And I think Henry, the way he kind of plays the game is kind of a traditional sense, but his use of the ball is so important. And I think he's seen that with Galway, he's seen potential there, he's seen how probably they played this year and how they kind of, I suppose, maybe let themselves down the way, they didn't turn up at all, and he just sees a massive potential that Henry can bring to it. And I think the style of the team and the way he plays, he still likes the long ball, he still likes people to win their own ball, and Galway seemed to kind of do that and have the potential in players to do that. So if there's another team, I don't think he would have went, but I think he just sees that in Galway.
That's pretty interesting. So, like, if we all have to remember that the thing that anybody who's getting involved in inter-county management has to believe at the start of the season is that they can beat Limerick. Because they're like Dublin were the challenge for everybody had to come up with a style to beat them. You can't copy Limerick. You can't do a kind of facsimile version or a scanned version in. You have to do something completely that's your own identity that everybody believes is going to be a winning game plan. Can Galway do that?
Well, I tell you what, when you look back, when were Limerick last beaten in a meaningful championship game? They were beaten by a Kilkenny side in 2019. That you'd say, could you see Galway replicating what Kilkenny did that day? You could. And they have the class then as well. They have, in my opinion, they probably have even more class just as regards of the underage talent they have coming through. But Aidan, that's an interesting one just on Limerick as well. You don't expect, by the sounds of you, you don't expect Henry to bamboozle them maybe with tactics. It would be more a mixture of the old school and the new school.
Yeah, for sure, lads. Henry's not going to complicate things. He's going to bring in professionalism and all that to it. And that's standard in this day and age. Like, everyone's going to bring in professionalism to it and all that. But I think, if anything, Henry is just going to keep it back to maybe just normal, run-of-the-mill, don't overcomplicate things with this Galway team. I think he's going to bring other aspects to it that maybe people might even think about. I think he's going to bring an honesty and a hunger and a work rate to the forwards. Henry has always talked about a work rate out of the forwards. You won't win in Ireland unless the forwards are working. And if you looked at Galway and what they're probably lacking in the last couple of years is consistency, is that real hunger there and that kind of intensity to kind of win matches when they're under pressure. And I think also, I'm talking about intensity and all, and that's, you have to bring that to matches. But there's the other side of Galway, which I feel is kind of maybe people forget about, is the actual enjoyment of hurling. These guys are 20, 21, 22 years of age, up to whatever, 32, 33 years of age. And it's not a professional game, it's amateur. And Henry would have often spoke, and we would have spoke about in dressing rooms ourselves, that maybe on a balmy Sunday night, going out to play, a championship game, or going out even to training, this is what you live for. This is what you have to enjoy. And, you know, reading between the lines, even with Joe Cannon kind of stepping away, was he just feeling the pressure of it all? Was he not enjoying the game? So I think Henry's going to bring that aspect to it to a huge extent. Like, bring these guys in. Lads, you have to enjoy the game first, and then we'll roll on from there. And I think that's one aspect that lads mightn't think that's important, but it's hugely important. And I feel Galway are lacking that.
Yeah, he immediately becomes a figurehead and takes a bit of pressure off any of those young fellows. If there's a mistake, he comes out and says, that was my mistake. You know, he's able to do that. The one thing I'd say about the inconsistency is that it seems as if that inconsistency can happen when not everybody agrees or is fully au fait with or fully understands or is fully indoctrinated in what the plan is. And it sounds like what you're saying is that there'll be a straightforward plan that's explained, repeated, and so everybody knows what their role is. Do your job, as Bill Belichick would say. If you don't know what your job is, you can look a little bit confused.
Yeah, absolutely, Jared. I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think Henry's going to go up initially and probably won't say anything for the first couple of months. You know, obviously he'll have his talks and things like that, but he's not going to talk about tactics. He's going to strip it all back. He's going to take everything out of it, take all the complications out of it, and just train like a normal kind of amateur team trains. And then he's going to bring intensity. He's going to bring the work rate and bring a hunger and make lads want to come to training and compete against each other. Like, there's so many aspects to this Galway job now. Like, he probably needs to find a couple of more guys as well. So he's going to need a Galway figurehead in with him. Someone who's level-headed, who's not involved maybe in the club scene, as in, you know, has talks or has players themselves that he knows on the club scene. Someone just totally out of it, but knows his hurling, and going to have to bring lads into the panel and compete against the older guys as well. There's a lot of guys there maybe that are thinking, you know, have I enough of Galway hurling? He won't want them to go either. But yeah. He wants to bring them all in together in the first year initially. And then, come championship, he'll start talking about his game plan. Now, I feel, now it's easy to talk because it's Limerick are winning and everyone looks at the team that are winning championships and stuff. But I have a feeling it's going to be similar to the Limerick tactics. It's going to be the work rate, but it's going to be a long ball to the square as well. It's going to be the use of the ball. Henry always talks about the use of the ball, intelligent play, intelligent hurlers. And Galway have that in abundance. And it's just, it's exciting times for Galway. If I was a Galway hurler and if I was thinking about leaving, I probably wouldn't leave. I'd be just interested to see what he brings to it.
Yeah, it is pretty exciting.
Oh, massively. And that's the thing as well. There's that buzz about it in Galway again. They've had a dismal 2021, but lads are surely re-energised by that yesterday.
What do you do about Cian Lynch problem, though, if you're Galway? He must be, like, I understand the pair everything back and make everybody understand this is our plan. But at the same time, part of your brain needs to constantly be going, what am I going to do about Cian Lynch?
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be something that's operating in the background, that they'll have, you know, an idea ready, or, you know, a lot of it is having a player ready that will be able to pick him up and it will be able to take him out of a game. But I think Galway probably did overcomplicate things in recent years. I know they were close to Limerick in 2020, but they were playing a sweeper that just is not, they're not accustomed to that, and it was something that takes a while to bed in, as we've seen with Davey and Wexford. I do expect, as Taggy says, for Henry to strip it back a bit and for it to be a lot more, like, I put it to you this way, if they're trying to do what Limerick are doing, they're not going to beat them by doing what Limerick are doing, so they have to do something different. And what Taggy describes there, it may seem a small bit old school, but it's definitely different, and it will be something different for Limerick to deal with next year,
and something I presume that appeals to everybody coming in straight away. And then you layer in your complications as you go, and you know who's capable of actually delivering what you want them to deliver. That question, though, about how concerned the people of Kilkenny are, you said at the start it's kind of mixed emotions. Fear must be a little part of that. What if it turns out that Henry Shefflin's an absolute managerial genius and you never get him back because he spends 20 years there winning 10 of the next 20 All-Irelands?
Yeah, it's a crazy one, but Henry loves Kilkenny. And I think if Henry comes up against Brian Cody, which probably will happen, I don't even know the draw for championship if it's made already, but look, the possibility is Kilkenny are going to meet Galway. It's going to be a strange dynamic, because the two of them have so much respect for each other, and they still have respect for each other, of course. Nothing's going to change there. But it's just going to be so strange to see Henry come up against Brian, who's, I suppose, taught him so much in ways and won so much, both of them on and off the field. It's going to be crazy. But Henry won't want, and I think if Galway beat Kilkenny, Henry won't be jumping inside. Yeah, he'd be delighted. He's a driven, very focused guy who wants to succeed. But deep inside, he'd be gutted that Kilkenny loses. And that's probably the colour of the man as well, that he's going to, like, he'd stick to his own. I think I seen an interview with Brian O'Driscoll there, they're out golfing, and he was talking about training other teams against Ballyhale, and he just said, look, it didn't have it in my gut, but here he is going to Galway now that could possibly play Kilkenny in a championship game. So it's going to be a strange dynamic, but he won't take the foot off the gas. If they're playing Kilkenny, he will want to beat them.
Just on that, Joe, as well, you don't know when the scenario arises potentially for the Kilkenny job to come up. Just hypothetically, if the Kilkenny job came up this time next year and Henry's after, you know, just say he's after winning an Ireland with Galway, you know, or he's after getting to an All-Ireland final. Can you leave after 1 year, or if the other job comes up, like he's made a commitment to Galway now, similar to Liam Cattle making a commitment to Waterford?
It's complicated, isn't
it? Yeah, no,
it does get
complicated. So, like, that's going to be as interesting this time next year or the year after, whenever. It's going to be really interesting to see how he gets on with Galway. And then if that, you know, the biggest managerial vacancy probably in the history of the GA, if that arises and he's committed to somewhere else, what happens then? So that's going to be an interesting one.
Well, just long-term thinking, do you want to be the manager who comes after Brian Cody? It turns out history would suggest you do not want to do that job in any sport.
Yeah, well, that's true too. Desi Farrell, I suppose, came in after Jim Gavin, I suppose, and won All-Ireland straight away. But yeah, there's so many. I've never seen anything like the moving parts in the kind of inter-county carousel, the managerial carousel. I've never seen anything like it this year. And this is the kicker of them all to finish it out.
Not to bring this all back to Plan B, but I think that's actually a function of the fact that you have